And all right, welcome to another Three Dudes 3D podcast. Tonight is August 30th, 2012, and this is episode number 9. With me I have Gene Unit, also known as Grimlock is King, and Matt Dennett, filling in while Ian Reed is on vacation. Matt Dennett, once again, is also known as Staying in the Box, and he has a site about his collecting G1 figures called My G1 Journey, appropriately. And that's stayinginthebox.wordpress.com. And Gene, I'll start with you. I just want to see how you guys are doing tonight.
I'm doing pretty good. Got the stuff squared away that had been going on personal life the past couple weeks that I talked about. So pretty happy about that. So things are looking on the uptick. You definitely called it, though. It was a pattern of three before it was all said and done. So
I love it.
But I actually got some stuff this week and without buying anything, so I'm pretty excited about that. So other than that, pretty good. Hoping that I should finally get the last approval level for my research proposal this week or early next week. So keeping my fingers crossed on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How about you, Matt?
You know what? The week has been pretty good. I had a pretty long week last week, but you know, had a good work week, and I'm getting ready for the 3-day weekend, man. I plan on doing a lot of Fall of Cybertron and a lot of rest and relaxation, so I have nothing planned and I am looking forward to it. So TJ, what about you, man?
Pretty much the same. Instead of a 3-day weekend for Memorial Day, my birthday is actually next Wednesday. So I took the 3 days off leading up to my birthday, the Monday, which is Memorial Day, through Wednesday. And we're just going to get out and about, leave the house, do some things. And, you know, hopefully I just want to have a nice, relaxed day. It's the big 3-0, and at this point, just feeling old, crusty, and kind of wanted to hide from the world on that day, to be honest with you. But I'm sure it'll be a good day, time to spend with the missus and the family and stuff like that. And just looking forward to it, most definitely. So, yeah, but overall, up until this week, you know, been a pretty good week. Work's finally calming down. Where I work, we've actually been short an associate, so we're on the upswing of hiring somebody for that position to, you know, give a little bit of a rest and break in terms of hours to everyone who's really been busting in, and I've got a great team where I work, so really, you know, proud and blessed for that. But overall, you know, things are finally starting to calm down, and that's a beautiful thing, you know. So yeah, but that's pretty much it. Did you guys have anything else to add, maybe you forgot about, or
not for me personally?
Okay, Matt, no?
No, sir, man. Let's get up the Transformers chitter chatter.
That works. Well, all right. As per usual, we're just going to go ahead and go through some of the news from this week. And spoilers in advance, towards the end of the podcast, we are going to be talking about our opinions on the Fall of Cybertron video game. It's been just over a week since it's been released, so we've all had a chance to play through as much as we can of the campaign, get some multiplayer in, et cetera, so we're just going to go round table and talk about the game itself. But all right, first bit of news here is going to be the Transformers Prime Dark Energon exclusives. From what I saw, it was like Wheeljack, and then I saw, was it Prime and Megatron? I know I saw Megatron, but quite a few of them there, and I've got a link that's on my list here. So while I go ahead and catch myself up with that, Gene, I'm going to pass the buck to you. What do you think?
Overall, it's one of those things that, I guess, for me personally, if they would have had some pre-orders or a firm date a little bit sooner, I'd probably be a bit more excited, as my interest levels kind of waned on it. Overall, though, they still look very, very nice. There's a Optimus fit with a no faceplate, which is big because that's a first for the official releases. Megatron, a Seeker body that looks like Skywarp, Knockout, Bumblebee, and Wheeljack, which looks like a Slicer homage. They look nice. I'm curious to see the price point on them. I don't know. I'm hoping that they come in not too terribly overpriced. If they do, I might bite on them. Right now, I'm kind of tempted to probably just stay a little bit away and see if they're going to do package deals or if they're going to let you get them individually. If they do the individual route, I might bite at one or two. But if it's an all-or-nothing type of thing, I'll probably pass for now. Overall, though, I know there's that market out there for the translucent stuff, and it is very, very nice looking set. and I think they're going to go pretty well. What do you think about them, Matt? You had a chance to look at them?
Yeah, man, I've actually been kind of eyeballing them. I think they all look pretty solid. You know, probably the one I'm most interested in is that Megatron. He looks, I think he does the best with that Dark Energon. I mean, he definitely looks the most show accurate, at least. The Optimus Prime, I'm not feeling too much. I think Gene said the only thing I'm really interested in, and that's with the faceless, he doesn't have a face mask anyways. So I think that's pretty solid, but he's probably the least desired of the bunch. But I like how you can kind of repurpose all these figures. Like Gene said, that Wheeljack is probably a Slicer homage. You know, the Bumblebee could be a Gold Bug, and Knockout and Starscream, kind of, you know, cool-looking decos, but those are kind of, would just be cool to have. So depending on the price right now, I like all of them. But if I'm paying $50 for one of those Voyagers, I don't think I'd want to get on that. But if they're decently priced, I know they're exclusives, I'll probably get on board for them. So I think pre-orders are up. BBTS, they announced midnight on September 1st. So at least we have a date of when they're going to be up. And I don't think these things are going to be, hot sellers sold out in an hour. So I think everyone will have a chance to get these. And, you know, they're all pretty good figures. So I think they'll find a home in my collection, hopefully, anyways. TJ, I know you don't collect Prime figures anymore, but are these kind of up your alley at all?
To be honest with you, the Megatron looks incredible. I might buy that one just for the novelty of it. The black and the clear purple just rocked me when I saw it. The one that I'm definitely buying no matter what is the Wheeljack, because it is such a throwback to Slicer, and I'm going to actually purpose him with my Shattered Glass to 2008. Collection on my shelf or whatever. You know, Wheeljack, he's not necessarily a classics mold, but he's a lot more of a classics mold than the previous Slicer, which is the Cybertron Wheeljack, I believe.
It was the Energon one, and it's horrible, man.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just a lot better of a fit. The colors, perfect Slicer. And yeah, I can't wait to get them and get them on my shelf, buy those. Because when it comes to classics, you know, one thing that stinks about some of the BotCon sets is they do throw in some of those Cybertron or AEC molds in general. And the thing about AEC molds, some of them hold up to today's standards great, and some of them don't. There's, like, no real in-between with them. So some of the ones that they repurpose for classics, especially for the BotCon sets, just really don't fit, especially when compared to the classics that are in the BotCon sets as well. And Slicer, unfortunately, is an example of that. So I'm glad that they're doing something to where, I can go ahead and replace that. I don't know if they had that in mind, but it works and works well. You were dead on with the repurposing mention that you had there, Matt. Most definitely. So did you guys have anything else to add there?
Not for that news.
Okay, cool. Just making sure. All right, and speaking of Prime, it looks like we have Prime podcast this time. We got a couple of Prime items here. Now, TRU, BBTS, and Entertainment Earth, they're actually starting to carry, they're going to be carrying the Prime First Edition toys this fall, which is pretty awesome for anybody who, you know, missed out because they were pretty much TRU Canada exclusives, the Voyagers were, anyways, and Viacon. So, yeah, that's an awesome thing. You know, I don't necessarily collect Prime, but for people who do, that's fantastic. Gene, what do you think?
I think it's great. I'm really glad that they're getting a re-release, and I'm even more glad that I know there was some kind of a bit of fan rage or fan discontent that there's the SDCC Cliffjumper Terracon version, and now there's going to be a retail version. But honestly, I think it's great because it gets the product out to more people. It's one of those things that fans ask for, and you were there, all of us were there at BotCon. That was something that was brought up, and they actively said they were going to try to do it, and kudos to Hasbro and the TFCC on following through on it. I'm really glad that they did because these were, you know, in such demand by the fans. And it, you know, it's also going to be great, especially for some guys out there who do amazing custom work. It's going to look really nice. They're going to have chances to work with molds and not pay an arm and a leg for them. And I'm really excited that they're getting a re-release, because for myself, I know I want to grab a couple of the Voyagers just for that reason. But I'm hoping that these get a wide distribution along with the other Toys R Us exclusives, because they've got a lot of stuff coming out this year that a lot of people are going to want. How you feeling about it, Matt?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. This is great news. It was definitely weird to see, you know, Hasbro go through all that to release, you know, some of the first editions and then realize North America is not, or I don't think it was North America. Did Canada got some of the first editions, right?
Right.
Yeah. They got all of them. All of the Hasbro.
Okay, so it was just, yeah. I guess it was just the states that didn't get them, but yeah, I think this is great, you know? I mean, I was one of those people that, you know, paid an arm and a leg to get all the first edition figures, so I didn't want to take that risk, but, you know, obviously my gamble didn't pay off, and I think it's great. I'm happy that everyone is hopefully going to be able to get these a lot easier and certainly at cheaper prices. It does kind of suck that they're at limited outlets, but there's still outlets that I think we're going to have, you know, plenty of chance to get these figures, so... You know, that's great. I'm definitely going to try getting some more first edition Viacons because, you know, those figures are just downright an engineering, you know, masterpiece. I really love those figures. And, you know, especially compare the Prime first editions to what we're getting now, it really is just a world of difference. So, you know, not only are people going to get these figures for their collections, but you're also going to see, you know, kind of what could have been as compared to now. So, that's also a pretty cool thing that I think. So, again, I'm happy for everyone who waited and has the chance to get some of these figures, and you know, I'm happy for collectors like myself who can get more of these figures for their collections, and you know, customizing fodder, whatever the case may be. I think it's great all around, and now we cannot say that Hasbro hates us. If I see another one of those threads pop up on TFW, I'm gonna throw my computer against the wall. So Hasbro does not hate us. And this is proof. So, TJ, what about yourself, man?
I'm pretty much in the same boat. I mean, I collected Prime when it first came out. I did definitely have to pay the secondhand pricing for the first edition Voyagers and stuff like that. And it's nice to see that they're available for collectors. It doesn't make me feel bad at all about paying secondhand pricing before, because I paid it before, you know, it was even announced that they tried to get them to the States. So, not anything to feel bad about, I think, for collectors. And also, if you're collecting around value and stuff like that, it's just one of those personal things of mine to where that's not the reason I'm in it anyways, you know? So, if something I get releases cheaper later or more available, I'm okay because, you know, it's not like I make or lose money depending on what Hasbro does, you know? It's not my job, it's my collection. So, yeah, it's awesome to see people get an opportunity for it. And personally, it kind of makes me reconsider getting back into collecting Prime.
Uh-oh, welcome back to the bandwagon.
No, I'm thinking about it. We'll see. We'll see. Got a lot of Transformers things to catch up on first. We'll definitely see because, I mean, being able to mix in those first edition modes, I mean, they're that good. You know, if it was all about RID from the get-go, I don't think I ever would have started collecting Prime. First edition toys are ones that you see on a shelf and you're like, damn. Like, they really are that good. They will bring you to that line. So, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to look at them on a shelf and be able to resist. Now, if they weren't at Toys R Us, like, in my face, then maybe. But, I don't know. I got a feeling that I might be sucked. So, if I do, it happens. I don't like rebuying stuff that I pre-collected. We'll see, most definitely, but I'm just happy to have the option to, you know? Damn good toys, most.
I'm personally going to send you one of those Prime toys if you don't get back on this train, man. Here. I love seeing your pictures of those first edition figures, because you're right, they look amazing.
They really do, and, you know, part of me wants to buy them just to, like, reshoot them and stuff like that with some different equipment, but like I said, we'll see. But all right, moving on before I get too caught up on thought of collecting. So I'm not going to ask you guys if there's anything else. All right, Transformers Prime, their season premiere was last Friday, right?
Yeah.
Last Friday, and tomorrow is actually going to be the second episode. August 1st. It's a Friday or is it Saturday?
I believe it's Friday again. I think they moved it to their prime slot on Friday.
Yeah, so Friday is a premiere, I think, yeah.
Permanent time slot or whatever, permanent day. All right, cool. So it's on my DVR. I haven't had the opportunity to watch it yet, but, you know, spoilers if you need to. I don't really care. I'll watch it either way. But I just want to get you guys' thoughts at least. Gene, what'd you think?
Overall, I felt it was a solid episode. It wasn't anything earth-shattering. It was kind of predictable at points, but there again, it's a kid's show. You know, absolutely. I mean, that's something that I think everybody needs to be reminded of every now and then. There's a lot of good things in there going forward. The Wheeljack and Miko relationship, I really like seeing how that came along, especially where, you know, there kind of was a little bit of tension previously. So I really liked how that moved forward. Didn't really see a whole lot of, you know, characters outside of them. But the way those two worked together and the way that, you know, they just teamed up for Bulkhead and, you know, the Insecticons, wow, that was, I mean, even though it was, you knew it was going to happen, it was still impressive to watch how it unfolded, that particular part. I liked it overall. I'm curious to see, with all the previews we've gotten, where these next few episodes go, because it looks like there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up and hopefully a lot of cool stuff.
So. Very cool. Glad there are some things in that episode that make you want to look forward. Now I can't wait to see it. Matt, what'd you think?
Yeah, I'm right on that same path. I haven't actually seen the new episode. I think it's called Hurt.
Yeah.
I'm still catching up, but I watched Toxicity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched that a couple of days ago on my lunch break, and you know, I immediately commented on Twitter, you know, I've mostly been let down by this Prime series because it's been a little too predictable, even for a kid's show, in my opinion. But I watched Toxicity and I was just like, I was just blown away. I mean, the show has just so much potential that, you know, even if you're not a fan of it, I think everyone needs to be watching this show, because at the time this series concludes, there's just going to be a holy shit moment when everything just comes together. I really think that's how this series is going to go, you know, how individual seasons are going to go, etc. And that's kind of just motivating me to stay on board, because, again, this show just has so much potential that I don't want to stop watching it and, you know, miss out on so much goodness. So, you know, I'm staying on board, and you know, Gene, I'm kind of glad you mentioned those Insecticons, because I saw them introduced, and I think, did David Kay voice Hardshell? Is that his name?
Yes, Beast Wars Megatron, and wasn't he also the AEC trilogy Megatron?
Yeah, he was the Unicron trilogy Megatron, and I guess he jumped on for the Insecticon for Prime. So, but you know, what I was gonna say is that he did one hell of a job, and it's just amazing what that guy can do to his voice. And it's really cool to see, you know, like the producers, writers, directors, everyone behind the scenes of Prime, you know, just pull out like all the big names. And, you know, again, that's why I'm staying on board with the series, and why I'm excited. You know, I'll take the ups and the downs. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season. And, you know, Gene, you kind of laid it out pretty good. It sounds like we have a lot to look forward to. So, you know, I'm still on board. So, TJ, did you get a chance to watch it, or?
No, it's on my DVR. It's just waiting for me. So I'm looking for some time this week you know, get back into the groove and start watching again. It's just one of those things to where I don't want to have it playing in the background while I'm doing other stuff. I actually want to have time to sit down and, you know, watch it. So that's going to be my big thing, but can't wait. Definitely sounds like a good episode. Last season definitely left it with a cliffhanger with Bulkhead and stuff like that. From what I got, apparently he didn't die. Sorry if that spoils it for anybody. But I haven't watched it either, so I've been spoiled too. So that's kind of not necessarily disappointing, because I like the character. But, you know, I'm waiting to see what the payoff is, to see if that was just a waste with potential for a blow off, or I don't know. I just want to see where that goes. It's most stuff.
So, I think there's so many different ways they can go. I mean, I still think they're going to go back to like the Unicron story. You know, I don't think we just got three episodes and we're done with them. So, you know, kind of like you're saying, I really think the payoff is coming. It has to be. I mean, they've just built up so much that, you know, it has to be coming. There has to be a big moment coming up.
Most definitely. And that's why I want to be on board, you know. Even not collecting the toys, I still like the series. I like the series quite
absolutely.
A bit. So, you know, definitely no problems. And I'm a fan of Prime itself, you know. So, yeah. Let's go ahead and let me bring up my list and see what's next. All right, cool. Straying away from Transformers Prime and back into something we all know and love, which is third-party toys. Is it the Transformers Club? Is that what they're called?
I have no idea what that stands for.
I want to say that they call themselves... I think it is TF Club is what they go by, but it's just been shortened to avoid confusion with the TFCC.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I thought.
There's some more drama we could add to the list, so...
Nice. So, all right. Looking at TFC, their project, is it still called Uranus?
I think it's Uranos is how Uranos. They're pronouncing it. But okay. I've seen variations. I don't know what the official is, but...
Gotcha. I just call it Superion. Makes it a lot easier.
Exactly. I'm really at that point. But all right, with their not Superion, Uranos, their sixth bot was actually revealed. Not fully revealed, but what it's going to be. Everybody was wondering because it's definitely one of those five-bot Scramble City-style combiners. Torso, four limbs. But they announced the sixth bot, so everybody was like, what? What's going on? But it looks like the sixth bot is actually going to turn into the chess piece for it, which I personally think is pretty cool. Let's go ahead. You know, that's pretty straightforward. Gene, what are your thoughts, man?
That makes a big difference, at least for me, because where before maybe I wasn't, you know, completely sold on the idea of getting one. It's now I'll definitely be waiting to see everything, but... it makes me more likely to be in this camp of picking it up when all five or six are actually released. I want to say, I can't remember, one of us mentioned that last week. I want to say maybe it was Matt brought up that they had mentioned that possibility and on the Facebook page or something along those lines. That was fan speculation. I'm interested to see, though. I mean, like, because it's going to be that sixth member is going to be packed with the last one, which I'm going to guess is they're not Silverbolt. So I'm curious to see what that price point's going to be, and I'm even more curious to see what the jet itself's going to be. You know, is it going to be like a smaller drone, or is it going to be something a bit more like maybe a mishmash of the existing aerial bots? I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes. I mean, they knocked it out of the park with Hercules, and they did their job in trying to address everybody's concerns there. So I have every bit of faith that they'll continue to do that. And that this will be very successful as well.
Most definitely. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, again, we're thinking the same thing here, TJ and Gene. TF Source was the one that kind of broke the news. They said that the sixth figure is going to be packaged with the fifth figure. So we know it's going to be a higher price point. Hold on, guys. Give me a quick second. My daughter's calling for me. TJ, take it away.
All right, no problem, man. While Matt's attending to his duties as a daddy, me personally, like I said, it takes a lot of load off of thought-wise or whatever. What's it going to be? You know, that kind of thing. Is what part is it going to add to the robot? Because when you think about a six-bot for a, I guess, five-bot combiner, my mind automatically went to, like, limb piece or something like that.
Yeah.
So, personally, it turned into the chest. Makes sense. That's one of those things to where if you don't like the fact that it's a Transformer, just keep it in chest mode and call it a day, you know? I got a feeling it's not going to be something that's too spectacular or, you know, because I'm sure they're more concerned with the chest piece being accurate than making it a nice robot or jet or whatever it turns into, you know? And mm-hmm. The fact that it's going to be packed in with the fifth figure, apparently, I think it's... I'm not going to say I'm going to guess that it's like a throwaway or anything, but it... I have a feeling it's not going to be anywhere near as intricate as their regular piece. So, you know, I think it's just going to be a fun little add-on, and I look forward to seeing how they do it. Things like Breathmasters and stuff like that, that's... I love Math, of course, so those kind of things are just awesome to me. And to see it put on a combiner, too, that's nice. But at the same time, there's a part of me that's like, man, really? Is this really going to be worth, like, driving the price of the fifth hot for? You know what I mean? Because if that's another, like, 20, 30 bucks, then it's kind of like, you know when to say, like, enough's enough, TFC or whatever, like, you know. So, yeah, I don't want, like, bots that are, like, 50, 50, 50, last one's 100 because of a goddamn test, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm hoping that maybe their mindset in this is that, you know, one of the common complaints among fans is they hate parts formers or they hate kibble or whatnot. Maybe this is their way to try and solve both of those problems at once. Mm-hmm. If, you know, maybe it wasn't engineering-wise as easy of a thing to update Superion as, you know, Devastator and Hercules, which they did a wonderful job on. And so this was their solution to it is, hey, well, what if we just have basically this drone for them that, you know, just kind of acts as maybe it's a computer add-on or whatever fiction they come up with for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities for it that I think can be really good going forward. So I'm hopeful that they'll address it in a way that makes sense and in a way that appeases a lot of people. And given with what they've done with Hercules, I don't think they've given us any reason to not think that they will do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think in terms of just QC and stuff like that, I'm hoping that they learned and are actually doing a bit more testing in combined mode than they did with Hercules, just to get a sense of weight and ratchets and just the overall effect on itself that its own weight has, because that's a big problem with Hercules. It's not as much the engineering, it's just that the connector pieces and ratchets aren't really revolved around just how heavy the figure's limbs are. So I hope that that's a change, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's been put forward by TFC, so we'll definitely see. Matt, are you back? Or?
Yes, sir, I'm back. Sorry about that, guys.
Nothing to be sorry about, man. We have lives, so... Don't worry about it, dude. Did you have any thoughts, though, on the six combiner bot?
Well, you guys actually covered everything I was going to say. You know, one thing I did want to add and kind of just piggybacking off what you guys said, you know, the sixth figure, I'm with you, TJ. I think it's a cool idea, but if it's going to drive the price up, you know, so much that it's like actually buying another, you know, deluxe or Voyager-sized figure or whatever have you, you know, that kind of has me scratching my head. But, you know, even with that, this makes me think that they have something special planned for this, you know, sixth figure. I don't think it's just going to be another robot transforming into the chest piece. I think there's going to be something else to it. You know, maybe it's, you know, maybe it transforms into a Target Master, or maybe it connects to another one of their projects. I just don't think that TFC would simply make a transforming chest piece. I think there's going to be a little more to it, so... You know, again, this didn't negatively impact my feelings towards the Superion figures or enhance it at all. So I'm indifferent to it, and I'm really just kind of waiting to see. And hopefully, like you said, TJ, I hope that they're taking their time with this and making sure that when they release a product, we don't need, you know, add-on parts for the next product to fix our figures. So that's really all I'm thinking about, but... You know, I'm still on board, and I'm still pretty confident with this project.
Most definitely. So I'm in complete agreement with you, too. It'd be nice if they did go along with some other projects and things like that. That would be cool to see, like, I guess, interchangeable breastmasters throughout their combiners and stuff like that. That would actually be kind of neat.
Yeah, it's an idea. I mean, I think it'd be kind of hard with, like, the color schemes, but, you know, that's something I would definitely be up for, you know? That might be a cool idea.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Now, moving on to the big one. Spoiler alert for everybody listening here. We are going to be talking about Transformers, Fall of Cybertron. It was actually released last Tuesday. So it's been out a little bit now, but I understand that everybody hasn't had a chance to go through the campaign mode and stuff like that. So if you are listening, this might be the time to tune out, fast forward, whatever you got to do. Because this is the end of the news section, and after this, we're going to be talking about our hauls for this week. We're looking forward to opportunities wise, but in terms of actual news discussion, this is it. So with that forewarning, here we go. Like I said, Transformers Fall of Cybertron, been out for about a week now. We've all had a chance to play it, even if we haven't had a chance to play all the way through. And just initial opinions after playing it for a bit. Gene, I'll start with you.
I've made it through the campaign. I think I finally finished that on Tuesday. Overall, it was definitely a very great job by High Moon Studios on being a fan nod, fan service that fits well into a couple of continuities. I like the way they kind of felt like there was some G1 and some Prime nods, and even a little bit of, if you want to call it, some movie nods as well. It overall, I love the way they kind of tied things together. The gameplay overall, I mean, it was, you know, it was pretty similar to War for Cybertron, which everybody expected. Some of the touches were really nice. For myself, I liked it. I wasn't, I guess, as in love with this game as I was War for Cybertron, and I don't know if it's because I just didn't have the time to jump into it right away like everybody else did. And so on Twitter, all I kept reading was how everybody loved it, how it was just amazing and perfect, and, you know, maybe it just set my expectations too high. It was a really good game for me, you know, not great or perfect by the standards compared to some of the other games that I really enjoy, but it was up there. For me personally, I love the Grimlock and the Dinobots storyline. I really wish that they would have made the Dinobots all as playable characters. And that's probably one of my only minor complaints, is that I wish we could have taken charge of more of the characters in different spots. It would have been nice to be able to mess around with Ironhide and Ratchet during the campaign, or, like I said, the rest of the Dinobots or the Insecticons. That's one thing that I'm trying to remember all the storylines in War for Cybertron, but I think you got to play both sides of the campaign in the same events.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's what kind of brings me down just a little bit on it, is that I wish that option would have been there for all the stories as well, because it would have been really great to be the Insecticons and Shockwave trying to trip up Grimlock's Rampage, or it would have been a lot of fun to you know, mess around as Metroplex the way you did with Bruticus, more than just calling in airstrikes and, you know, beating the tar out of Megatron. Overall, though, it was really solid. The gameplay felt a lot, as far as the control system, it felt a lot tighter than War for Cybertron, a lot more intuitive and accurate. I've done a little bit of multiplayer, not much, just because I've been super busy this week, and that looks to be more of the same good stuff. I feel like the customization has gone up to another level. That's one thing that I like to see. I haven't dropped any Microsoft points or anything on the pack with Ultra Magnus and Wheeljack and the other three characters, but I definitely will when the Dinobots one comes out next month. Overall, I felt it was between an 8 and a 9. I can't give it a 10 out of 10. There's just a couple little things that bother me, and really that's just what it is. It's just kind of nitpicking for my preferences, but my preferences don't represent what everybody likes, so...
Absolutely.
You know, Take that for a grain of salt. For me, you know, like Arkham Asylum and Arkham City are kind of the standard for these type of franchise games. And I feel that these are close, but just not quite there. But that said, they're still very good games, and they're very fun games. And, you know, for us as Transformers fans in our, you know, 20s to 30s to get this kind of game now, it really makes me appreciative, especially when some of the other games we've gotten in the past haven't, you know, been quite on that level. What's and the that? Fact that they're consistently trying to become better and improve, you know, kudos to High Moon for doing that.
Most definitely. And Matt, how about you?
You know, yesterday was the first day I actually had a chance to sit down and really play Fall of Cybertron for a few hours. I think I played for at least 3 hours yesterday. I still haven't gotten through the whole campaign yet, but I just got on the Jazz Cliff Jumper level. I don't know how far that is in relation to the campaign, but I feel like it's far. But then again, I'm not a gamer at all. But, you know, with these type of games, I put it on its hardest setting and really just try to get the most out of it. So, you know, I'm taking my time. But from what I have seen of the campaign, you know, I guess Gene, me and you kind of differ right now, because I think this game is just fantastic. Again, I think that's because I'm not so much a gamer. I'm more of just a Transformers only friend or a fan. So, you know, I'm playing this game, and you know, I really just wish that Fall of Cybertron and that War of Cybertron continuity was the face of the franchise, because I just love what they're doing. I like what you said, Gene. They throw in some G1, they throw in some Movieverse, and they just all make everything work. And every time I'm done playing, you know, either campaign or multiplayer, I just feel good. I feel good about being a Transformers fan. I feel good about my purchase. I feel good about the toys, even though they kind of stink right now. But as a whole, I couldn't recommend this game enough. I love it. And I think my favorite part is, I touched upon this last week, was the customization for the multiplayer, create your own character. God, man, that is just fun. I mean, you can't run out of options. I haven't downloaded any of the new content yet. I'm probably going to hold off on that a little bit because, again, there's just so much to go through. But, every character that you ever envisioned for your own fiction or your own, you know, custom Transformer, it just really feels like you can do it in this game. And I've just been having a blast just creating my own Transformers. I just created a helicopter type Transformer. My color schemes that I like, my weapons that I like, and it's just downright awesome. I mean, I have so much fun playing this, and especially being a fan of Transformers and feeling like you have so much control in what you can do, it really just feels like, you know, this product hit home. And, you know, even when I beat the campaign and have been playing this game for over a year, I really think I'm still going to have a blast playing it. So hopefully I can finish the campaign this weekend, so I'm not so, you know, worried about spoilers and whatnot. But, you know, again, I can't recommend this game enough. You know, it gets at least a 9.5 out of 10 for me, so I love it. TJ, I know you're a big gamer, so is this right up on your level or what?
To be honest with you, God, I don't want to get too nerdy, because I am a big geek gamer, you know, so I don't want to get too into nitpicking. The campaign mode was fine for what it was. To be honest with you, and this isn't a joke towards you, Gene, or any Grimlock fans, but I feel like this game, if you're a Grimlock fan, buy it. It's your fucking wet fantasy. Like, it's this is it for you. However, just overall, the amount of options during the campaign, I guess for me, games like this, since I'm more of a fighting game fan, the campaign needs to be good. Really good. And this campaign was decent. I guess, like, War for Cybertron had a little bit more options in terms of who you can play as and things like that, whereas this one was just like, okay, you can play as this character, okay, you can play as this character, and it seemed like every level with every character dragged on for about 10 minutes too long. The storyline was great for what it was, no spoilers, but the ending, if it's not built for a third game in this trilogy, it fell really flat. So, I mean, if this is it for the end of High Moon Studios during doing Transformers games, then the ending sucked really bad. If it is for a sequel, then great. You know what I mean? It was good. You know what I mean? It makes sense for a sequel. But, Gene, you'll know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
It's,
like, all of a sudden, it was just done. All right. You've got to touch. Dude.
It's one of those things where it's like, I feel you on there, because it's like, okay, are they just going to leave this and be like, okay, you know?
Exactly.
It goes to whatever your preference of continuity is, and, you know, see you later.
So they just ended the game.
Well, there was an ending and a last battle. I'm not going to get into the hows and whats, you know.
Uh-huh.
But there, you'll see. I don't spoil it at all. You know what I mean?
Fair.
I think it's something that's at least worth you playing through and forming your own opinion of. But it'll be interesting to see what you think of it next week, because to me, it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Credits. You've got the touch. So I was like, all right. All right. You'll see what I mean when I say you got the touch, too. It's just like...
Okay.
That last battle pissed me the hell off so many times. I had to redo it.
All right, clearly I need to beat this campaign for next week because we need to have a conversation dedicated solely to Fall of Cybertron.
Oh, yeah. And I could definitely get down with that. In fact, if we even get another guest host or two or whatever and just roundtable about the game, I'd have no problem with that. And it'll allow me to geek out a little bit more about the control schemes and just all kinds of little stuff. But I will touch on the multiplayer. The multiplayer is good. It took me a bit to get used to. I'm a big Gears of War head, like all of them. I've played, spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours on each of the games. Definitely buy all the maps, like that kind of person. So for me, a third-person shooter, even when it comes to like Uncharted, which I do like, but not quite as much as Gears, because I don't like the whole platforming thing and stuff like that. But the lack of a cover system, like a true cover system, took me a while to get used to. At first, like, I just wrote it off as this shit sucks. But as I started to play it more, and actually, there's a really specific type of movement you have to get used to. And even the weight of robots when it comes to clashing into each other. In most games, if you bump into a teammate, you kind of just clash and then keep going. Straight. This, you bump into each other, you're going to fly like 10 feet in one direction or another. This game really, it really does well with like the physics and the weightiness, or the, I guess, I'd say weightiness of these robots or whatever. So that's definitely something to get used to in each of the different classes and stuff like that. It's a good rounded multiplayer, and as I level up now and start to unlock more, you really start to see the depth of it. But just vanilla, it takes a bit to get used to off the bat. Because I did not play War for Cybertron's multiplayer at all. I literally played through that campaign and deleted the game off my computer. I was just done, you know? And that was a good game. I thought War for Cybertron was great. This campaign, not quite as good. Not gonna lie. Not in my opinion. I would say the War for Cybertron, it was a solid, like, 8.5 to 9. And this one's, like, 7 to 8. You know, it was good, it was playable, didn't piss me off, but at the same time, it wasn't something to where, you know, I put it down one night and I was just really looking forward to getting to the next level the next day. It almost, to a point, it got to points, especially during, like, Vortex's level, to where it just felt like a grind. I don't know what it was, because the control schemes were pretty much the same, but controlling Vortex as a helicopter was just hell for me. And I played through the demo, and I got through it fine. But for whatever reason, during the campaign, the helicopter controls with Vortex just sucked for me. Maybe I just got more used to them by the time I got to Starscream, because I blitzed through that, but Vortex, man oh man. I probably spent a solid 2 hours just trying to get through his level of the campaign. Like, it was rough. I was like, hallelujah, when I got to the point where you traded off and you became, I believe it was Brawl, or no, it was Swindle. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Besides Swindle and Jazz, that you played the same in terms of properties and stuff like that. There were enough differences, but still wish you had to go through whoever you wanted. You know what I mean?
No, definitely.
And I was really impressed with Grimlock, though. You know, not being a Grimlock fan, and that's why I say it's like a Grimlock fan's just wet dream. Playing through as him, it was amazing. It was like Ninja Gaiden steroids. It was... Grimlock is out of control in this game, and I'm so glad that they don't allow the Dinobots to be part of multiplayer, at least not in, like, Team Death and stuff, because I hear they're supposed to be added. But they between their controls, their range, even their, like, health meters and stuff like that, you would see nothing but, like, fucking Tyrannosauruses running around Deathmatch, and I... It's like, what the fuck?
That would be good for you, Gene, but I'm glad that didn't happen.
Absolutely.
I don't know, by the time I see, you know, a Shatterglass Grimlock or a Trypticon color, I'm just gonna be like, eh, fuck it, I'll play somebody else.
Pretty much. But, like Matt was saying, the customization and stuff like that is really... really nice. So, yeah.
And you kind of touched on one of my big criticisms that I didn't mention, is it's one of these games that it feels like it is built so much to have a cover system, and the fact that there's not one
exactly
just sucks. And you know, I'm not a big FPS or third-person shooter by any means. I play, you know, mostly Halo, if I do have that itch, or maybe some Modern Warfare, but that's about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm more of a story kind of gamer or a sports gamer, so for me, it's, you know, it, and maybe it's just because I've been playing Arkham City so much, trying to get all the achievements here with the last holiday coming up on one of them, that, and I've been playing it pretty much nonstop before this came out, that it's so fresh in my mind. But to see all the things that were done right, all the little touches that hit all the right spots, and then to go to this where it's so close, but it's just enough to kind of bring it down a little bit. For me, that's kind of what was disappointing. But that said, it's still a really solid game, and if you're a Transformers fan, you're going to love it. You may not love all of it, but you'll find stuff that you do love. You know, for me, the Grimlock level was a great one, and the level that I really liked was Jazz's. I don't know who they got to do the voice for Jazz, but it was such a nice, I want to say that Amy, Lady of Wreck, mentioned how it was a nice, on Twitter, mentioned how it was a nice mixture of, like, Scatman Crothers, I believe the original G1 voice, and then the animated Jazz, who was Phil Lamar, is that right?
Yeah.
It was just a nice midpoint between the two, and it felt like he really captured the essence of the character, and it made...
It's funny that you mention it, because when I heard, I only heard two lines from Jazz, but when he spoke, I was just like, God damn, that's solid. It was fantastic.
And, you know, you're actually playing through probably my favorite levels. I mean, next to, I can't choose between the Cliffjumper and Jazz part and Grimlock for my favorites. I think those are the high points. And later on, the Combaticon levels, those were a lot of fun too. There's a lot of different options on this one. I just wish that maybe they could have just taken a little bit farther. I really think this would have knocked it out of the park and made it a 10 out of 10. And, you know, maybe there's reasons they couldn't, but overall, it is what it is. It's a very good Transformers game. If you're a Transformers fan, you're going to love it. You're going to find something to love. If you're a gaming fan, there's going to be things that probably make you take a step back and go, you know, they probably could have done this better, but it's still really good overall. And with the multiplayer, you know, that's a lot of fun, and that keeps people into it. I'm hoping that maybe they do, like, some more... I'd like to see them do DLC campaigns like some of the other story... or some of the other games out there do now, where it's just maybe we find out what the Dinobots are doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we... see a little bit more of what the Insecticons are up to. You know, stuff like that I think would be really fun. I don't know what's in their plans, but at the end of the day, it's selling well and it's doing well, and hopefully that means we get more out of these guys, because I like what they do, and I hope to see more from them.
Hmm. Very cool. Matt, did you have anything to add?
You know, I just, you know, for the listeners, I think you're getting kind of the best of both worlds here. You know, you're kind of getting the gamer's perspective and then, you know, the casual video game but Transformers fans perspective. So, like I say, you're getting the best of both worlds. So, you know, hopefully we're influencing some of you guys.
All right, most definitely. Yeah, man. And it is nice to get some rounded opinions and things like that and perspectives. And that's why I look forward to next week, just kind of going all out with it, most definitely. And hopefully we can get some other people forward to go ahead and talk about it too. I'd really like to get my friend, he posts on TFW, and we play multiplayer together every night for like hours on end at Lasky. He's just an awesome guy. His name's Lance. Just really cool and pretty damn good at with the multiplayer and stuff like that as well. He's been helping me out and really leveling up my game too. So awesome dude, awesome insight, and I'd love to I've never really talked to him about what he thinks of the game. We just play and talk strategy while we're playing, you know? So hopefully I can get him to come aboard and chat with us. I know he works late, so maybe, maybe not, but we'll definitely see. But regardless, we're going to have at least one or two more guest next week to specifically talk about the game itself. But yeah, anything else to add, guys?
No, not for this week. I'll save some more thoughts for next week when we do the roundtable.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we covered it pretty good, so next week it is.
Cool. Now, this week's hauls. Gene, what'd you get this week, man, and what are you looking forward to?
I finally, you know, after my mentions of my dissatisfaction, got my eye gear specialists in today, a little over 13 months to the day I ordered them. And I've been messing around with them when I'm not speaking on the podcast, and I love them. You know, they're great. It's one of those things where, you know, the running joke is that Transformer fans will rage until they get the new toys in hand about everything that went wrong prior to that. And you can already see it on the message boards. That's exactly what's happening, and it's well-deserved. I mean, they did a great job with them. The transformation's intuitive. It's solid plastic. The engineering is very well done. And they hit that sweet spot where they feel like they will fit in either with the new Masterpiece scale that we've seen from Hasbro to Karatomi, or even with your classics. I've been having them posed next to a little bit of both, and I like the way they scale. The Voyager size on them fits really well. That was the only Transformer thing I got this week. The only thing I bought. I actually didn't buy anything this past week because of tuition payments and other real life stuff that came up. I did receive a trade where I got my second Hot Toys Two-Face. So now I have one to display as Harvey Dent and one to display as Two-Face. So I was pretty happy about that. So I'm all done and caught up pretty much with all my Transformer stuff and all my Hot stuff. So it's just wait and see now. How about you, Matt?
Well, my buddy Floating Cat on Twitter and TFW, he hooked me up with a Masterpiece Thundercracker today. And let me tell you, I just tweeted out a picture with in comparison with the iGear one, and you know what? I really think Hasbro pulled this one off. I mean, this is a solid, solid figure. From the deco to the details they put into it, love it. So, you know, hopefully everyone who wants one can get a Masterpiece Thundercracker to finish off their Seeker collection, because this is a solid figure. I love it. I won't go into too much detail because the Seeker Masterpiece mold has kind of been, you know, done to death already. You know, we have just multiples of this figure. But, you know, just from the differences from what I can tell, you know, same transformation, probably a little less tabs that could be broken off and whatnot, so that's a good thing. One of the biggest things that I really liked was the Null Ray guns kind of have a little ball joint attachment to it, so you don't have to... You don't have to take them off anymore. They always can stay on. So, you know, that's a good thing. You know, you won't lose your guns, and just it looks better, really. And the details that they put into this figure is awesome. They have a picture of Reflector on the side of on the Thundercracker here. I think that's hopefully you guys maybe can correct me. I think that's an homage to a G1 episode or something when Reflector was flying in Thundercracker or something. Am I right?
Yeah, they were standing on a hillside and Thundercracker was taking pictures with him.
There you
so
go.
So I think that's what the reference is there. But I do think he went up in the cockpit. But yeah, there was a tie to those two.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, just details like that, I think that is pretty damn cool. You know, you don't really see too much of the details from Hasbro too often. You know, it's more of a Takara thing, and on his fins here it says Sonic Boom and picture of him holding, it looks like a Soundwave cassette player. So, you know, it's just, if you can find him and you have $80 laying around, you're not going to get much better than this. So I'm very pleased with this Thundercracker. I still like the iGear Thundercracker with the Toon colors, but you know, for my collection, this just fits in more with what Seekers I have. And funny enough, I told you guys last week I was expecting the Masterpiece Starscream mold, and I totally missed the USPS lady today, so I got to go pick that up tomorrow at the post office. But got my Thundercracker, so I'm pretty stoked for that. So that's the only thing I got this week. It just came in today. So, TJ, did you get any goodies?
Yes. All right, let's see. It's sad because I always put my stuff away after I photograph them now, or try to, because this room just becomes a mess. But I'm trying to look around my shelves and get an accurate assessment. Got the other two Classics Turtles. Donatello and Michelangelo, just love them. The nice thing about the Classics is that I don't have to get too into the differences, because basically the only differences between the Classics are their weapons. They all come with a different shades of green, you know, of course different colored bandanas and stuff like that, but they still all have this great standard of articulation and everything like that. My Donatello, he came with the derpy eyes of death. They were literally pointed in two different directions, so I had to paint his eyes white. And then, since he looked out, I just went ahead and painted all of their eyes white. And I actually like it quite a bit better. Like the 2012, the Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So, yeah, they look really good. Nice, solid figures. I love having them all displayed together. Hopefully the rumors are true, and due to fan support, they can release some other characters. But definitely just a rumor, so we'll wait and see. Now, third-party-wise, I got the Head Robots Blood DX kit. Definitely did a review on YouTube about that, and I just love it. The Deluxe Wreckage and Voyager, or Deluxe Wreckage and Bludgeon, that mold, it's fantastic. It's literally the best thing out of the movies to me. Like, it's just incredible, and fits in very well with Classics toys and things like that. They just have a very solid look to them. And the Blood DX kit just takes the Bludgeon version to a whole nother level. So it's definitely a nice little add-on. Kind of pricey at $40 for what you get. You basically get a head, a turret, and a couple of swords. But, I mean, it makes the figure look like a completely different figure. So for what it does, it's well worth it, and the engineering, you know, and planning behind that. And it's definitely not flimsy plastic. The colors perfectly match, definitely sturdy material, and should last just as long as the figure, so I'm down with it. But the biggest ones are going to be, I got Night Morpher Commander and Night Morpher Annihilator, actually. So, those, wow, blew me away. I'm still not over just how cool these figures are. I am continually, like, just taking these off the shelf and playing with them. Not only is the engineering behind them magnificent, the plastic quality is magnificent, and both modes look great. They look great in the train mode, they look great in just fantastic in robot mode, and honestly, since they're literally the exact same height as the Classics Voyager Prime mold, the HOS version might replace my Hinkai Prime as my main Classics Prime. It really looks that damned good. And then I have this affinity. Like, literally, my favorite color scheme is the black, red, and gold of the, I believe it's Toy Crazy or whatever exclusive it was, the Galaxy Force Sound Blaster. Between that, Big Black Convoy, and this, oh my god. Like, I've just got my fill on that color scheme, and Night Morpher Annihilator actually pulls it off well. I wasn't going to get the Commander X, the Shattered Glass version of it, but the mold's so good. I realized I have the 2008 Shattered Glass Prime, I have the 2012 Shattered Glass Prime, so why not go ahead and just get the trifecta, you know? There's no reason for me not to, even though it's just a one-off figure for the HOS line, the Shattered Glass version or whatever, but yeah, they're definitely must-buys. Seriously, they're incredible. I thought that I was good with Cyclops or whatever, but even though these were released before Cyclops, they blow it out of the water. The Night Morpher, the Commander, and Annihilator, they are bee's knees. They're damn good. And they're poseable as shit, too. For, like, all, or robot modes that look kind of clunky with all the big train pieces and stuff like that. Yeah, they're just good. Sorry to, like, go into like that love spree or whatever about them, but yeah, they really do rock. I got Figma Samus too, another very, very solid figure. It's my first Figma. I don't really have an attachment to the Metroid games. I played them as a kid. Played it on Nintendo 64. Never got the one for the Wii or whatever, made by Team Ninja. I wanted it, but I bought a Wii way after that was really relevant in terms of what to buy. So I might pick it up one day, but my Wii's modded, so I can just download it. I should just stop being lazy, I guess. But very solid figure. Very, very, very accurate. The amount of accessories is great. I like the little things, and I hope this is a standard as I buy more Figmas. The fact that it came with a sandwich bag or whatever for the accessories and stuff, because like all my Figuarts, that's exactly how I have them managed. Like all of the accessories are in separate plastic Ziploc bags or whatever in my toy bin. So it's cool that it came with little things like that, an actual plastic piece to store all of the different fists in. You know, it's not just a collector quality toy, but it comes with stuff to store it like a collector quality toy. And I respect that about it, you know? So overall, just a solid and beautiful figure. Like, I'm looking at it right now from across the room, and there's just a presence about it to where it literally... It's such a quality figure that it looks like a PVC statue standing still. But it's a fully articulated figure. And I know, Gene, you and Ian have been on this for months now. But I just got a chance with it, and I'm with you guys. It's awesome. It is freaking incredible. As for what I'm looking forward to, still the same old, same old. I get my Jim Lee Batman, the Play Imaginative. It's 1/6 scale one. That should come in next month. So really looking forward to that. Next week I get my Solo Chokojin, the GX-46. That thing is out of this world. So I'm really looking forward to that set. It's actually two robots. One of them transforms into the Stallion. And other than that, Bandai actually announced either today or yesterday that the D-Arts line was going to get the original Rockman. And at very least, it's going to be Mega Man. They've already released Mega Man X figures, Mega Man unarmored, full armored, Zero, Vile, you know. And they're looking at releasing Sigma, Riot armor for Vile. Like, it looks like they're, like, knee-deep in the X line. But they're starting the original Rockman. So I think, no pun intended, that that's going to rock a lot of people's socks off. Because, just having a two-life version of that old school character, that's going to be probably bigger than the Figma Link figure. Like, Mega Man's a big deal, and it has a very, very, very huge fandom to the point where there are literally thousands of people, like, raging out that Mega Man hasn't been put in one of these newer Capcom versus fighting games or whatever. The community for Mega Man is still huge and active to this day, so it's going to be a hot seller. Pretty much anything Mega Man that Tamashii Nation's release is huge, so I got a feeling that this won't be any exception. But yeah, that's what I got, what I'm looking forward to. And yeah, did you guys miss anything or
not that I'm thinking of? Most of the stuff I'm looking forward to I probably won't be getting until October anyway, so it's going to be pretty light for me next month, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Light week, and it doesn't look like anything's going to be coming in until later this month in October, so I'm just going to be backlogging some stuff and just enjoying what I have.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, I'm glad to be at a point where I'm not looking at anything, at least too crazy expensive, that I want to backtrack for or anything like that. So, yeah, definitely. It's a good time for me to kind of be light on the buys through, like you, Gene, pretty much October. Most definitely. So yeah, you guys don't have anything else? I definitely don't have anything else, and I'll go ahead and call it a wrap. Once again, this has been Three Dudes 3D Podcast number 94, Thursday, August 30th, 2012. I'm TJ Duckett, and with me I have Gene Unick. Grimlock is King on the message boards and the other related everything. I have Matt Bennett here, Staying in the Box. He also has a website, stayinginthebox.wordpress.com. And Matt, just to give you a second, have you gotten anything new and any new posts on the site that you want to?
Unfortunately, nothing new yet. I'm still working on finishing out my Devastator, so, you know, stay tuned on that. You know, if you guys like what you're reading or if you just like the site in general, you know, feel free to leave a comment, leave some feedback, you know, hit me up on Twitter. You know, I'm creating the site, you know, just to make a good conversational piece. So, you know, it's not only for me, it's for you guys as well. So, like I said, if you guys are interested, you know, feel free to get in touch with me. Share your own stories, you know, share your own feelings. That's what the site's all about. So, you know, for whoever is reading it, thank you. And whoever is listening to this and wants to check it out, you know, stayinginthebox.wordpress.com. Check it out.
Most definitely. And I definitely, definitely do. So, yeah. All right. Once again, this has been Three Dudes 3D Podcast number 9 for Thursday, August 30th, 2012. This is me. We have got Gene with me. I've got Matt. And we are peacing out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And see you next week. Big roundtable about Valve Cybertron. So hopefully everybody's had a chance to play through it, get a lot of multiplayer in and stuff like that as well. Have a great night, everybody. And Gene, Matt, thank you guys again for joining me.
Thanks for having us, TJ. Good talking to you guys.
Thank you, guys. Deuces.
All right, later on, everybody.